Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Well, Jimmy Butler, 5 for 21 in a classic game 6, but he scored 10 points in the final 4 minutes to actually give his team a chance to win. What do the Heat need from their star tonight in game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals to avoid the infamy of blowing a 3-1 series lead? Greeny's on ESPN Radio. I used to say 3-0 series lead, actually. I don't know what I'm talking about. ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Michael Rothstein on this Memorial Day. And we'll get more into Game 7, Michael, coming up in just a second. But the phone lines are blowing up with people's bad food takes. At 888-SAY-ESPN, that's 888-729-3776. And I will leave it up to you, Michael, which food take. You can see the callers on the board. Which food take would you like to hear the most?
All right, well, first of all, in the break, I have gotten messages on social media about my pineapple and anchovies on pizza together food take that have been deemed atrocious. So I get it. Shannon, our producer, Shannon Penn, tells me it's awful. If anybody agrees with me out there, 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Give us a call and tell me why pineapple and anchovies are great together on pizza.
What are you, a Ninja Turtle?
Get people
just adding this nasty stuff on pizzas? What are we doing here?
Hey, you know what? If I can operate the size like Raphael or the nunchucks like Michelangelo, or the sword like Leonardo, or the stick like Donatello. I know that the stick has a name. A bow, thank you. I would be all about being a Ninja Turtle, but I ate pizza like Ninja Turtles did when I was a kid before I found out I had gluten. Anyway, all right, to the callers, we're going to go. I want to go to Mikey in Missouri, who's got something he wants to talk about spaghetti with, and now I wish Candy was still here.
I am still here. Can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
All right. Spaghetti is a side dish. So I'm from the South originally. It goes with catfish, spaghetti on the side. You got spaghetti on the side with steak, hamburgers. It just goes good with coleslaw. So, like, we put it on the side of stuff.
But, all right, what would you not put spaghetti on the side of? Like, if you had sushi, would you put spaghetti on the side of sushi?
I don't think that's a good fit. But in the South, spaghetti, like if you go to any catfish joint, you'll have spaghetti as a side with the coleslaw. And that's just how we do it.
Mikey, I'm sorry, it's not a barbecue food. Like you don't show up at your Memorial. Thank you for the call. You don't show up for your Memorial Day cookout. And you've got burgers and dogs and that smell. Oh, you know the smell I'm talking about. You walk in, the food is just getting crisp. It's getting to the perfect temperature. And you look over and you see spaghetti and meatballs in a bowl. You're like, what is wrong with these people? Somebody got confused about what day it is.
Well, okay, but Aaron, here's where I'm going to fight you back here. Because what if culturally your family is Italian? Or what if culturally one of your traditions is to have spaghetti at every meal? Because that's just what you do. So you're saying like you should buck the family tradition in order to adhere to Aaron Goldhammer's rules of cookout? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, I don't mean to insult anybody's family traditions. I'm just pointing out that you're going to get side-eye from everybody if you serve it at your... Now, if you give some explanation about how it's what your dead grandmother did or what, like that, okay, then fine. Then I could understand serving the pasta. But it's... Look, like there are some people who do a little afternoon, little lunch on Thanksgiving of pasta. And that I can get behind. Christmas as a spaghetti meal, I can absolutely get behind. Memorial Day is about burgers and dogs and smoked meat and coleslaw and potato salad. It's not about spaghetti.
See, I have a bigger issue with Thanksgiving in this conversation than I would Memorial Day. Because Thanksgiving's all about turkey and stuffing and cranberries. Like, no. Or ham, if you choose to go ham, or turducken if you really want to get creative. Like, no. I can't get behind your spaghetti on Thanksgiving. I can get behind it more on Memorial Day than I can on Thanksgiving, Aaron Goldhammer.
How are you getting away with giving spaghetti takes? You're gluten free. Like you should.
They make gluten free spaghetti now, Aaron.
That's not spaghetti. That's whatever.
Tell that to the people in Italy when they made it for me. You telling me Italian restaurants and Italian people in Italy can't make gluten free spaghetti?
Pasta,
I trust their spaghetti over most of the non-gluten or gluten-full spaghetti here in the United States. Except by our guy Michael Simon, if he makes spaghetti.
PJ is in New Mexico, and he wants to talk about pizza at a cookout in New Mexico. You're on ESPN Radio. What's up, PJ?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning, guys?
What's up?
Hey, man, so cookout, barbecue, just like my man earlier explained, you know, it's like it's the grill. We're not eating pizza. If you're going to come over and bring a quick little $5 pizza or three or four of them, I personally don't think that is contribution. Like, you didn't do nothing. You went and picked up a pizza and you brought it by. That is not a cookout food.
PJ, agreed.
I will agree on that.
But thank you for the call. If you bring high quality $18 to $22 thin crust New York style pizza to my, that I will allow. But picking up the hot and ready or whatever and bringing it over and saying, hey, I contributed to the barbecue, get the hell out of here with that.
No, pizza. No, if you're bringing pizza to a cookout, you're basically saying, I don't want meat and I want to bring my own food to the cookout, so I'm bringing pizza. That's what pizza is when you bring it to a cookout. I don't care how much it costs.
What about a pizza oven, an outdoor pizza oven, or pizza off the grill on the pizza stone? Now I feel like we're having a more sophisticated, accurate conversation about what you could do and have pizza in the mix today and have it be appropriate.
I guess, right? Or you can just have pizza. You don't need to have hamburgers or hot dogs or, you know, whatever it is you're going to do. If you want pizza, have pizza. Let's just call it that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can, and you can put hamburger meat on pizza or hot dog meat on pizza. You can do these things, and then it can become a whole different thing.
Now, you're starting to do things to pizza that should not be done to pizza, like anchovies and hamburger meat. Now you're doing things that aren't pizza. Also, by the way, deep dish pizza is not pizza. That's meat pie from
You're
Chicago.
Right. I'm a New Yorker. Give me my thin crust, baby.
I'm not saying it's bad. I like it. I think it's good food. It's just it's not pizza. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Reminder, Game 7 tonight between the Heat and the Celtics. I promise we'll get to that. But this is much more important. Ed is in Alabama. He's on ESPN Radio on Greeny. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. Hey, I just had to kind of comment on this. I'm from Auburn, Alabama, War Eagle, but I've been to thousands of cookouts in Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana,
You're
Texas.
You're an expert. You're an expert. I believe in you.
Yes, sir. And I have never, ever in my life been the one that has spaghetti. Never. I'm just telling you the truth, guys.
Thank you, Ed.
I've even been to a cookout with Italian people in Birmingham, Alabama, yeah. And they didn't have spaghetti out there. That's new to me.
Ed, appreciate the call. Thank you. I think that is fair. I think that he said he's been to thousands.
I mean,
the southern states.
I buy it. Like I live in Atlanta now, and that is a weekend tradition. Multiple times, yeah. I'm with him there. I'm with you there in terms of if he hasn't seen it in all those. See, spaghetti at a cookout, I know I was making the argument earlier. I was making more the argument of the plate, not that it should be there.
888, say ESPN. Yeah, I disagreed with your argument about eating spaghetti off of paper plates. That sounds like it's such a nightmare. Like, you need, there are only a few things.
Dude, it's a bachelor lifestyle. Someone save me from it.
It seeps through the plate, and then there's going to be grease and tomato sauce on your pants and your hand. That just sounds awful to me. Justin in Pennsylvania has a bad food take. He's on ESPN Radio. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's going on?
What's
hey,
up, man?
So I wonder what Kenny said about pineapple and anchovies. Pineapple and anchovies do not belong on pizza. However, I worked at Domino's for 3 years, or about 3 years, and I gotta say, pineapple and chicken, surprisingly, pretty well together on pizza. The pineapple enhances the chicken flavor of the chicken, and it goes together pretty well.
Is it,
Justin? Thank you. You got me halfway there.
Though, like, if you put pineapple on it, you don't put fruit on pizza. Like, I went to this foo-foo place over here close to where I live in Cleveland. and they served peaches on pizza. And I looked at the guy that was making the thing, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is not – you don't put fruit on pizza.
Oh, all right, I'll give you peaches on pizza.
It's a flat – it's a flat bread if you start putting fruit on it. Okay?
I will give you peaches on pizza is weird. I will say this. I wish we could get Michael Simon, who was on with us earlier today here on Greeny. I wish we could get him back on this topic because I feel like we could do another hour.
I think we could – he said it. I think we could do 5.5 hours, some might say. Folks, it is time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It'll help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free so that you can then drive with peace of mind. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. That is AutoZone. Up next, we go to the NFL. Which team is a DeAndre Hopkins away from being a real contender? We discuss, we debate. It's Greeny. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Michael Rothstein on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Greeny, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Some days you just know it's a day that NBA history of some kind is going to be made. I mean, either the Celtics are going to win this thing tonight and they're going to come back from 3-0 down. Or if Miami goes on the road and pulls this off after blowing the 3-0 lead, that would be pretty historic, too. Game 7 is tonight on most of these ESPN radio stations on this Memorial Day. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Michael Rothstein. It's Greeny. ESPN Radio, ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at HammerNation19. He is at Mike_Rothstein.
No underscore. Just Mike Rothstein, one word.
All one word. You're the first Mike Rothstein on Twitter. It's impressive.
I was. I got in. I'm the first Mike Rothstein on Blue Sky and on Instagram. I was an early adopter of the social medias.
On Twitter, nobody important tweets the show and says, who is this guy with the pineapple and anchovies on pizza take? That is Dan Orlovsky level of horrendously bad. Jonathan tweets the show and says, deep dish is a casserole, not pizza. And ketchup doesn't belong on a hot dog unless you're under the age of 12. Very strong opinions about both Game 7 and food on this Memorial Day. And Stephanie in Tennessee is going to lay one on us. What's up, Stephanie?
I have a question. Have all of those people who say that they would never eat anchovies and pineapple on a pizza, have they really tried it? It is the bomb.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. It's me and you. Thank you.
I wonder if Stephanie's married because you and her belong together. You guys deserve each other and you belong together. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business's needs. From quick repairs to adjustable coverages, even payment options, Progressive Commercial makes it easy for you to get what you need. Quote today, as little as 6 minutes. Go to ProgressiveCommercial.com. That is ProgressiveCommercial.com. Michael, you cover the Falcons for ESPN NFL Nation, and so the NFL is your primary beat. And you do some real reporting as opposed to just goofing around talking about pineapple and anchovies and pizza.
Hey, listen, there is an investigative story to be had about pineapples and anchovies on pizza, and that's performance related success. Just saying.
Yeah, and you are the person ideally suited to be the one to tell that story. I got a tweet this morning, and I want to know Like, at what point do you take this stuff seriously, and at what point do you completely rule it out? Because fans with sources are very dangerous, but I imagine at some point it's a legitimate lead, you know? Hancock tweeted me and said, number 10 is coming to Cleveland. He implied that he worked at the airport and then made a joke about, because the airport in Cleveland is called Hopkins.
Yeah.
And it's Cleveland Hopkins International Airport, so DeAndre Hopkins and Hopkins. It has an invitational ring to it. Like, look, this guy might know something, or he just might be making a joke, Michael. Like, I don't know whether to take it seriously or not to take it seriously. I will say, fans with sources have led me down the road of thinking that LeBron James was coming back to Cleveland in 2014, and ding, that legitimately happened, and also led me down the road of thinking Peyton Manning was coming to be the president of the Cleveland Browns, and that definitely did not happen. So tell me the investigative journalist side of you. How do you handle fans with sources?
Oh, see, it's actually a really interesting question, because if it's something that I've either heard on a peripheral level or is plausible to me, and I have some inkling that this person maybe has an idea of what they're talking about, I'll at least try to chase it down. I will not go public with it. Like, there was a situation when I lived in Detroit that it still lives in infamy, where I'm not going to say the person's name who actually did this, but there was a person who went on the radio in Detroit and talked about how a limo driver told him that Khalil Mack was getting picked up at the airport. This is when Khalil Mack was being rumored to being traded from the Raiders. They ended up going to the Bears.
Right.
And he went on and said, hey, Khalil Mack's in Detroit. He's being picked up by the airport to meet with Bob Quinn, who's the general manager of the Lions at the time. Well, there was no truth. To my knowledge, there was never any truth to that, but it got reported on the radio. So all of a sudden, you're like, "Whoa, what's going on here? Do I need to chase this down?" I remember back before the Twitter world, I was covering Notre Dame, and also April Fool's is the worst day. April 1st is the worst day for this. I try to be off of all social media on April 1st, but I remember when I was covering Notre Dame basketball,
right?
Someone had posted again. It was April 1st. That Mike Bray was leaving to go to North Carolina State. And here was the problem. That was, like, credibly believable enough that I had to spend half that day, ex-girlfriend's demise, unhappiness, relationship demise, her unhappiness, that I had to chase that down to ensure that, no, Mike Bray was not leaving for NC State. So sometimes they're believable and they lead to something true, because
talk about limo drivers. We once on our show in Cleveland had a limo driver call and say, I just picked up Kenny Lofton and dropped him off at the ballpark. I think he's getting traded back to the Indians. And we said, really? And about 20 minutes later, a press release comes down from the organization. We have signed Kenny Lofton, or we have traded for Kenny Lofton. Like, again, it's hard to tell whether that. So there is a totally illegitimate report. The guy that sent this to me is not Adam Schefter. It is not Dan Graziano. It is not Michael Rothstein. It is no one who has a check mark. In fact, Michael, he doesn't even have it's an egg on Twitter. It's not even like a legitimate icon, or what do you call it? An avatar. The person doesn't even have a legitimate avatar. But I just, in case it happens later today, I wanted to let the people know that I guess there is this rumor out there that DeAndre Hopkins could be on his way to coming through the Cleveland airport. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's legitimately true. Now, I would take it more seriously. If there was a picture of DeAndre Hopkins walking at the Cleveland airport, I would totally 1,000% say, now we've got a little bit of smoke going on here for this.
Yeah,
now,
you want to know
now
what?
This is worth bringing up. Yes.
If that happens, that's bad on the Cleveland Browns, because you can fly him in private to avoid that happening.
Sure. But, you know, private jets aren't always readily available. It depends.
I'm pretty sure the Haslams own one, right?
Well, I mean, maybe they have to go somewhere else. For a very high-profile player, you would think in this day and age that they would send the PJ, but, you know, for flying a prospect in for a draft workout or something like that, like, I think that the player's definitely flying commercial. There was video the other day, who was it, of Roger Federer flying commercial. Yeah. Like, sometimes you just can't get access to a private plane, even if you've got hundreds of millions of dollars. and you're on United or American or Delta or Southwest.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I know the Staffords posted something recently that they were flying commercial with their kids and all that.
Sure.
But when we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins, by the way.
Yes.
Here's my kind of DeAndre Hopkins issue. He's over 30 as a wide receiver. His production the last couple of years has not been great.
Right.
He hasn't played 16 games since 2020.
Some of that is self-inflicted.
Some of that is self-inflicted.
Yeah.
For sure. And some of that is Kyler Murray and being in Cliff Kingsbury's offense inflicted. For sure. I just have some concern here of if you're going to give DeAndre Hopkins a lot of money, what that might do. I don't know if I would do that. I don't know if I'd throw a mega contract at him.
Well, I'm looking at this and thinking, okay, who has the cap flexibility at the end of May in order to make this happen if he's going to demand something around what Odell Beckham, the $15 million one-year deal that Odell Beckham got from Baltimore. And remember, right. Odell, Michael, is coming off of a torn ACL and having not played for a year. So if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I'm saying, oh, I deserve more than $15 million. If that's the going market for Odell, I deserve $20 million. I deserve more than that. And I don't know what his priorities are. If he just wants to be a part of a team that has a chance to win the Super Bowl and he's willing to take a lot less, okay, then I think Buffalo and Kansas City are legitimate destinations. But if getting paid market value is at all his focus, then I don't think those teams are options in any way, shape, or form.
No. I mean, especially the Bills, because the Bills only have $3 million in cap space right now.
Right.
Now, you can make it work, but
it's the NFL salary cap is always a little bit of a dance, but some of these situations that I hear thrust out there just aren't all that practical. How do you feel about New England for him?
I think that can work. Bill Belichick has shown he can take kind of star receivers before and get them to fit for a couple of years. It would give Mac Jones a number one receiver that he desperately needs. I can see it being sensible for the Patriots if they wanted to make it work. From a cap perspective, they've got a little over $12.5 million in cap, yeah. So you can make
it back.
You
with
can
Bill
make
O'Brien,
it work there.
You know, so there are obviously some.
Well, but yeah, but I don't know if that's a plus or a minus for what it's worth. Remember, they did under Bill O'Brien, they did trade him. David
yeah.
Johnson. Like I, so maybe that tells you that maybe Bill O'Brien not interested in getting back into the DeAndre Hopkins world. Just throwing that out there.
Coming up next, we get back into Game 7. Does Jimmy Butler have to be playoff Jimmy in order for Miami to win Game 7?
Greeny, the podcast.
Who do you trust more tonight? Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum, Game 7 in the East. Greeny's on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Michael Rothstein. We're on Sirius XM Channel 80. I got to tell you this, Michael. I mean, Butler can't go 5-for-21 like he did in Game 6, but
no.
He did have 10 points in the final 4 minutes and played great down the stretch. I think Bam Adebayo, more so than Jimmy, is the key player who's got to deliver and be able to have that 20-and-10 game tonight for Miami. I think if they're going to win, he's got to be much, much better than he was in Game 6.
Yeah, I have no argument to that because they need Butler and Bam Adebayo to be the best versions of themselves if they're going to win in Boston. They need to be the players that we have seen early in this series. They need to be the players we have seen throughout these playoffs that have carried a number 8 seed to the brink of the NBA Finals. It's really that simple. There's no argument there. Here's, Aaron, to me, the little wrinkle when we're talking about maybe trust and we're talking about what you're looking at here.
Yep.
I do not trust Joe Mazzulla, but I trust Eric Spoelstra inherently. And in a Game 7 situation, I wonder if all of the players we're talking about, because so many of these guys have been there before on the court, the one guy who has not been there off the court is the Boston Celtics head coach. And that, to me, if those adjustments that he needs to make don't happen fast enough, and maybe that's putting too much on coaching,
yeah.
That, to me, could be the difference, I think.
I'd rather have the better players than the better coach, and I think Boston has the better players and Miami has the better coach. So my read on this game Rothstein, is that it's going to go one of two ways. I think either Boston is going to win big. Like, I could see a game where they hit 23s tonight after making seven in game six, and where they get, you know, sort of their role guys to just go off. Grant Williams makes 5 3-pointers, and Derek White hits 4 3-pointers, and Tatum and Brown, who I think hit 0 threes combined between the two of them. Don't quote me on that, but I think I saw that on the box score in game six, where they go off and they just have a hot shooting night. And then Boston finishes the job. They come back from 3-0 down. They advance to the finals. I think if this is close late, I think that is all Miami could ask for. And then based on the way game six went at the end, and I know Derek White made the game-winning shot, but before that, it was a total Boston choke job to give up a 10-point lead with 4 minutes to go. If the game is close in the fourth quarter, I would tip the scales towards Miami being able to pull the upset and winning.
Yeah, because Miami is the most quote-unquote microwave guy on the court, and that's Jimmy Butler. As good as Jason Tatum is, and he's fantastic, Jimmy Butler is the guy that we have seen throughout these playoffs over and over and over again, not just in one game, in a game seven against Philly like Jason Tatum did,
yep,
but over and over, take over games. By the way, you were right. 0 of 12 combined from three between Tatum and Brown.
That's not happening again.
In game six. No, it is not. But also, let's keep this going here. Jimmy Butler is not going to go 5 of 21.
Correct.
Right. Bam Adebayo is probably not going to go 4 of 16.
I should hope not. And I don't think
you can even argue that Vincent going 6 of 18 is probably a little bit out of character based off of what we've seen from him.
Right, but read me Caleb Martin's line from game six. Do you think that's happening again?
Caleb Martin's line, 7 of 13, 15 boards, 21 points. No, probably not. But if we're going to play this game, I mean, we can play this game too. You know, I mean, just, I don't know. I mean, there are so many questions there when you look at these two teams. But there's no question that Boston's roster is more talented. I don't think you'll find anyone who will disagree with you there.
Yeah.
So it just comes down to other things. By the way, most important thing in all of this, my man, is this. Yep. This is my guy, Jose Corrales. He's another employee over at ESPN. If Miami wins game seven on the road tonight, which they will, anchovy pizza is on me, although I'm on pineapple type of guy. So I already have a pizza coming now with anchovies and pineapples if Miami wins tonight. See what we've done here, Aaron. Just see what we've done.
What is the pizza Boston is known for? Like clams on pizza or something? I mean, that's where you're going.
I don't know. I assume
lobster
pizza?
You know what the best topping on pizza is? Cheese. Maybe some pepperoni. But if you want to...
That is very basic of you, Aaron Goldhammer.
I mean, cheese pizza is the best kind of pizza. 888-SAY-ESPN is our number. Greeny is on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Michael Rothstein. Couple of little fan things that I wanted to get into here. Boston fan likes to still play the "we're the victim" card. You know, the 86 years, the Bucky Dent, the seven games against the Reds, the Bill Buckner, obviously. Guys, you need to cool it, not do that anymore. Like, if you pull this off tonight, they're officially the most spoiled sports fans. They overtake Georgia fan and Alabama fan and Yankee fan and Ohio State fan. They officially, Boston fan becomes the most spoiled fan base. How many Super Bowls and Stanley Cups and 3-0 comebacks and 28-3 comebacks do you need before you just realize that you're not the underdog anymore? You're the spoiled brat one in the eyes of every other city in America if you're a Boston sports fan.
Yes. There's no question because of this. Since we hit 2000, in the year 2000, all that from Conan, since we hit 2000, Boston teams have won 12 titles. Now the Patriots won half of them, but the Red Sox won four, the Celtics and the Bruins, all four of your major teams
have won
titles. I'll give you one else. 12 other times, they've made the league finals, including 5 from the New England Revolution, 3 from New England, 2 from the Bruins, 2 by the Celtics.
I mean, if you're a stupid Boston fan, sorry, I'm just bitter at you because
no, you are bitter at Boston, and I understand that because you
do you even
Cleveland
bother buying the championship T-shirt if your team wins another title, or are you just kind of like, yeah, I don't know if I'm even going to spring for the $30 for the locker room shirt this time?
You realize I think you do because you probably have all the other ones. So you have a collection.
So you need a whole. Okay, I have the 2008 Boston shirt, and then I need also, assuming they win this year, okay, let's say the 2023 Boston shirt. I root for the Denver Nuggets, okay?
Sure.
This week was the first time that I could buy a T-shirt for my team that doesn't just have the logo on it. That would say something cool like, you know, we won something. I don't think they make a Northwest Division Champions T-shirt in Denver. Boston, you've got championship shirts. You could have a whole drawer full of them that you don't even bother wearing.
I know people who do. I think my 7-year-old or 8-year-old nephew Porter does. I think he's got all. He wasn't alive for most of these, but he's a big Boston sports fan. He lives up in Andover, Massachusetts. If you have the first five Patriots t-shirts,
you need to get the 6th Patriots t-shirt. The craziest thing is that they play this whole, my great-grandfather and my grandfather suffered through all these Red Sox losses and the curse of the Bambino. No, you are the most spoiled fan. Does anybody even bother going to the parade in Boston? Or do they just say,
Yes, they go to the parade because it's a day off.
I might not make it down to this one. I'll just go to the next one. You know, we'll probably win another championship in like 3-4 months.
I was at the 0-16 parade in Cleveland. That was a raucous good time.
Yeah, that's the kind of parade we have here in Cleveland for our football team. We get the backwards parade.
Hey, listen, and honestly, you're talking about T-shirts. I covered the Detroit Lions for ESPN for 8 years. I lived in Michigan for 12. If they win the NFC North this year, you better believe there will be NFC North Championship T-shirts. And you better believe that almost every Lions fan that I know, and there are plenty, will buy them or buy a shirtsy of some sort that denotes the NFC North champions, because they have not won one since 1993.
Greenies on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Game 7, by the way, tonight. Eastern Conference Finals Celtics Heat presented by Indeed. Coverage starts 8 o'clock Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. If you're Boston, how many 2004 Red Sox do you put in the crowd? You've got to try to find the entire roster this side of Curt Schilling, right? To have everybody in the stands lined up and ready to go to put on the Jumbotron. You want everybody you can from that team in the house tonight, right?
I guess. But see, that's if you believe in karma and things of that nature. Yeah, I guess. Sure, why not? But it's great for like a 2-second boost. You know, I would make sure get Tom Brady there. Get Mark Wahlberg, who I'm sure will be there. Anyway, get those guys there. That, I think, gives more of a bump than seeing, you know, Kevin Millar.
Well, that's fascinating. Who do you think gets cheered louder on the Jumbotron at a Celtic game tonight, at Game 7? Pedro or Brady?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say Brady.
Poppy? Well, probably it'd be Poppy.
It would be Poppy. But, I mean, I think Mark Wahlberg would trump them all. But other than that, Poppy. I would go Poppy, Brady, Pedro. But if Larry Bird showed up, Larry Bird would beat them all.
But I don't think...
I don't think like, Larry will
Larry
be
Larry Bird
showing
is, like,
up.
Associated with other organizations.
Yeah, I don't think Larry will be showing up. I don't think Kevin McHale is showing up.
I think Pearson Garnett will be there, but I think the focus tonight will be how many 2004 Red Sox can we pack in just because they came back from 3-0 down. And then a word to the wise, like, I guess I struggle sometimes that too often I tell fans how to fan and you should be able to fan however you want. But my honest belief here is if you have more than 3 drinks and you go into this game tonight, because everybody's been drinking in Boston all day long, you know, for this rolling Memorial Day right into tip-off tonight. And it's an 8:30 game. It's not like it's this afternoon, a 3:30 afternoon tip. It's a night game tonight. But I'm a little worried that Celtic fans are going to have had 2 or 3 too many. And then if you do that, you got tickets for tonight, you can't actually enjoy the game. I'm a big believer, Rothstein. You go to a big game, you could have a drink or two, but you have 6, you have 8, you can't remember it? Like, now you're just a bad fan.
See, I wouldn't call them a bad fan. I would say that they are a fan with very expensive tastes, considering every drink in there probably starts at $12 a pop. It's Boston, so maybe $15 a pop. I don't like that you're telling people how to fan. And as somebody who doesn't drink and has been sober for 5.5 years, I believe you will enjoy the game more sober. But if that is how you want to go to a game, then by all means, go to the game. It is your money. You can spend it how you want because you want to know what? And Syracuse won the national title in 2003. I was in a bar in Newport Beach, California, called Sharkies. I remember the first half of Syracuse beating Kansas. I vaguely remember her game. And no, but my point is, do I regret that?
Do you regret that?
Parts of it, yes. However,
but didn't you want the moment that you hugged your friends and that everybody jumped into everybody else's arms?
Yeah, but I was also
Hakeem Warrick rejected Kirk Heinrich. Like, that's a moment that you should have in your memory bank that shouldn't have been lost to a bunch of shots and cocktails.
I've seen it so many times in hindsight and in retrospect afterward that I have that memory grained in my head. But I can tell you, I was the obnoxious nincompoop that was running around a bar because it was mostly Kansas fans puffing out the Syracuse jersey. And I would not have done that had I not had
some liquid coverage.
You're
lucky you made it through that bar experience alive.
I was very lucky. I was very persuasive of people trying not to get punched in the face.
I just think, like, it's a long day if you're in Boston. It's a warm day if you're in Boston. Pace yourself.
Yes, agreed.
Because
you want to be able to make it to the game.
Yes, the last thing that you would want is to not be able to make it to the game. And then if someone found out about that, you should have your Celtic ticket stripped away from you forever. I mean, they've hosted a ton of big games. They've hosted Game 7s. They've hosted Game 7 of the NBA Finals in Boston before. So this isn't the biggest game in Boston history. But I think considering the stakes, considering who they'd face in the NBA Finals, considering the 3-0 comeback that's at stake, this is one of the most historic games in the history of one of the most historic franchises in the history of sports. I think, although that sentence had historic and history in it a lot, I think everything that I just said there is probably fair.
And yet earlier you made the argument, and I don't think it's an inaccurate argument, that it is not anywhere close to the other historic comebacks that have happened in Boston sports.
Right.
Whether it's 28-3 or 3-0. And by the way, just to be very, very clear, Red Sox coming down from 3-0 to beat the Yankees, way bigger of a deal than 28-3.
Yes. And also way bigger of a deal than this.
Yes, agreed. That was the epic one.
I mean, the ESPN BPI actually favored this to happen. And there were a lot of people who, in that moment when Miami won, even though Boston had totally quit in Game 3, said, I'll believe this series is over when it actually is over, and Miami has won 4 games against Boston. So if there were people out there really honestly predicting it, then I don't think it can be considered the greatest comeback in the history of sports or on that level. I don't think it's the greatest comeback in NBA history. I think some of the improbable 3-1s are at a greater level of historical importance and also less probable than what Boston is on the verge of doing here. Up next, if Boston wins, going to be more about the Celtics winning it or Miami blowing it. We continue. This is Greeny, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.